Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prems Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadahar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunga Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Mathura Dhama ki jai. Navadvip Dhama ki jai. Jagannath Puri Dhama ki jai. Jagannath Swami ki jai. Vrindavan Dhamma ki jai, Ganga Mai ki jai, Yamuna Mai ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulas Maharani ki jai, Gaur Premanandi ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktavinoda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Paraya, Krishna Krishna Radhikale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kulamaya Namaste Sarasvatide Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyadeshatarine. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Om namo bhagavate.
How many of you don't speak English? Kto nezná anglicky? Eli môžem neko prevojiti? Môžete sesti zajedno, ali môžeš ti, ja? Ja ću govoriti na engleskom zbog uživo prenosa za internacionalnu publiku. Shrimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, text 17. Yasya,
yasya
na
ahankritaha
bhavaha
budihi
yasya,
yasya
na
lipyate
khatva
api
saha
Iman
Lokan
Na
Hanti
Na
Nibadyate
Nibadyate
Yasya Nahan Krito Bhavo
Yasya Nahan Krito Bhavo
Budiryasya Nalipyate
Budiryasya Nalipyate
Khatva Pisa Iman Lokan Nahanti na nibadyate Yasya nahan krito bhavo Udiryasya na lipyate Khatva pisa ima lokan Nahanti na nibadyate Možete možda pričati negdje na nekom drugom mjestu. Ok, next please.
Yasya
nahan krito bhavo
Udiryasya nalipyate
Udiryasya nalipyate
Atvapisayimalokam
Whose?
One
Na. Never.
Ahankritaha.
Ahankritaha.
A false ego.
A false ego.
Bhavaha.
Bhavaha.
Nature.
Nature.
Buddhihi.
Buddhihi.
Intelligence.
Intelligence.
Yasya.
Yasya.
One whose.
One
na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Lipyate.
Lipyate.
Is attached.
Is attached.
Atva.
Atva.
Killing.
Killing.
Api.
Api.
Even.
Even.
Saha.
Saha.
He.
He.
Iman.
Iman.
This.
This.
Lokan.
Lokan.
World.
World.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Hanti.
Hanti.
Kills.
Kills.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Nibadyate.
Nibadyate.
Becomes entangled.
Entangled.
Translation. One who is not motivated by false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, though he kills men in this world, does not kill, nor is he bound by his actions. Možda nijansu tiše. Prevod. Purport. In this verse, the Lord informs Arjuna that the desire not to fight arises from false ego. Arjuna thought himself to be the doer of action, but he did not consider the supreme sanction within and without. If one does not know what a super sanction is, that a super sanction is there, why should he act? But one who knows the instruments of work, himself as the worker, and the Supreme Lord as the supreme sanctioner, is perfect in doing everything. Such a person is never in illusion. Personal activity and responsibility arise from false ego and godlessness or lack of Krishna consciousness. Anyone who is acting in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the Super Soul or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though killing, does not kill, nor is he ever affected by the reaction of such killing. When a soldier kills under the command of a superior officer, he is not subject to be judged. But if a soldier kills on his own personal account, then he is certainly judged by a court of law. Yasya nahankrito bhavo buddhir yasya nalipyate hatvapi sa imalokan nahanti na nibadyate. One who is not motivated by false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, though he kills men in this world, does not kill, nor is he bound by his actions. Ovdje? A, vidi se i ovako. We just got the news that at the end of the big pop concert in Manchester, one young man blew himself up and killed 22 people, mainly teenagers and children, and injured 59 people. So ISIS, or so-called Islamic State, has taken responsibility for this. They say they are behind it. And these people think that they are acting in the name of God or Allah. But this is not what Bhagavad Gita is speaking about here. Killing innocent people is not what Krishna recommends to Arjuna. Krishna is recommending to Arjuna to kill to kill the enemies, to protect religious principles, and to kill people who are doing wrong, who are doing obviously wrong. This is completely different. So when we read this verse and the purport the natural question is, how do we discriminate what is godly and what is not, what is demoniac? And how do we know what comes from God? Anybody can say, I was God inspired by God to punch your nose. I was inspired by God to kill people in the name of God, or in the name of divinity, or whatever. So how can we know this? How can we discriminate? And in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there is description of the divine and the demoniac nature. And Krishna himself, when he comes to this planet, he also kills demons. He's exhibiting this power of killing these bad elements in society, people who are creating disturbance. So violence has its place, but it's very clearly defined when violence is appropriate and when it's not. And Krishna's inducing Arjuna to kill is not inappropriate. It's highly appropriate because Krishna wants to establish a saintly king or a godly king, Maharaj Yudhishthira, so that people can flourish and people can actually use human form of life to make spiritual advancement and not just have economic development and have nice material life. Politicians promise economic development so that people can have sense gratification, and they make many promises in every election, and they try to present themselves as very charitable, very protective, very human, caring for children, for women, for unemployed. And we know this story repeating so many times in history, again and again, after every election. Every 4 years we can see this propaganda. And then the same leaders, same quality of leaders, do the same things again and again. So we can say these are empty promises. And even if somebody is very benevolent, he wants to really help people, because there are so many dark forces, there are so many corrupted people around them. They, even if somebody is elected and he's honest, he couldn't do much, because there is too many people who will obstruct him, too many people who will prevent him. And now if you just read this verse, you may say, oh, here Bhagavad Gita is teaching irresponsibility. Bhagavad Gita is teaching how to be responsible, and you can kill indiscriminately. But this is not what Bhagavad Gita is teaching. Bhagavad Gita is never teaching anything that is irresponsible. On the other hand, actually just the opposite, Bhagavad Gita is teaching high responsibility. And now there is one sentence that might sound confusing here. It says, personal responsibility, personal activity and responsibility arise from false ego and godlessness or lack of Krishna consciousness. So, now, maybe you understand personal activity comes from false ego because we are not the doer. But then, how do we understand that personal responsibility comes from false ego? Because responsibility is a good thing. Why is responsibility bad? In this case, Arjuna is trying to be responsible in a sense that he wants to do what he thinks is right. Try to be nice. Try to be nice and not do his duty as a kshatriya. He's trying to convince Krishna that he's responsible in the way he thinks and in the way he wants to act. And Srila Prabhupada says here, this kind of responsibility is actually a speculation, and it arises from false ego. So one of the great lessons for a devotee, or great skills to learn, is to discriminate when I'm acting based on the false ego and when I'm acting based on the soul and guided by the super soul. It's not so easy. Sometimes we are convinced something is Krishna conscious, but actually it's not. And then when other devotees try to show us, sometimes Maya is so amazing that everybody sees that we are doing something wrong, that we are in Maya, and only we don't see it. Even sometimes we teach things that we don't understand. We teach things that we are not able to live and to apply, and it becomes just a theory. And people sometimes laugh, and they sometimes see, oh, he's teaching something that he doesn't understand, and he's not following himself. So therefore the principle of achar prachar is there, that first follow yourself, understand and follow yourself, and then you can inspire others, teach others how to do things properly according to divine principles or according to divine instructions. One lesson that we get from this verse is something that Krishna mentioned also before. Nimitta matram bhava savya sachin. You can just be an instrument in my hands. This is one of our goals, to become a good instrument in Lord's hands. We can see that all the acharyas were good instruments in Lord's hands. They were not concocting, they were not speculating. Maybe they have sometimes adjusted according to time, place and circumstance, but they have strictly followed the principles of Dharma or Bhagavad Dharma or Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada would never take credit for his great success that he had in preaching. He would only say one thing. He said, if there is any credit in what I have done, is that I haven't changed what I've learned from my spiritual master, from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This is the only credit he claimed. Nothing else, everything else he said is the mercy of my spiritual master in Krishna. So this is a great lesson for us, that we need sometimes to adjust to the time, place and circumstances and the audience, desha, kalapatra, depending who is in front of us, how to preach, how to present, how to inspire, but never change the basic principles. The details may change, but the basic principles must remain the same. And this is not always easy. Therefore, we need to discuss with more experienced devotees, with senior devotees, with gurus, those who have higher discrimination. And sometimes we are not sure what is right, what is wrong, how to act in certain situations. Sometimes we have a guidance from the Paramatma, and we have strong intuition. We have a very clear guidance from within. And sometimes we are right, but sometimes we are wrong, and we are confused, and we need to talk to someone or many more devotees, consult, and then come to a conclusion what is the right thing to do. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to establish Varnashram, and how to do it, we have to study carefully from the Shastra and come to a conclusion. And ideally we will come to a same conclusion or a similar conclusion, or at least agree on the basic principles how this should be established. Srila Prabhupada wanted villages, Varnashrama villages, Varnashrama college, engaging people according to their nature, helping people to situate in their ashrama. And we can see that it's not easy for Kali Yuga people to actually fit into four varnas and four ashramas. In our movement, we have some in-between ashramas, we have mixed varnas, but still, whatever conditioning is there, whatever guna and karma is there in the person, they can be engaged in devotional service. But this is given by Krishna, and these are parameters that we... Like, the other day we spoke with... I spoke with one devotee about, I think with Bhakta Andre, my host, that we all actually usually have mixed varnas in one person. You have a little bit of a Shudra, a little bit of a Brahmana, or more Brahmana, a little bit of Kshatriya, maybe Vaishya also a little bit. And so, but what is predominant, that can be your predominant varna, and that can be your occupation, something that is predominant in your nature. Brahminical nature, some devotees obviously have Brahminical nature, some devotees obviously have Kshatriya nature, which is predominant, but there is other elements, other qualities. And rarely you will find a pure Brahmana, or pure Kshatriya, or pure Vaishya, or pure Shudra. Sometimes we may encounter such a person. So we do our best, but Krishna has given us some parameters so that we can have some order in the society, and we can find our place, we can fit in somewhere, and we can find our optimal engagement, and in this way make gradual progress. There is one sentence in the second purport, in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which gave me a great hope when I read it for the first time, and it gives me and the people I try to support or guide, gives great hope. It says, one should purify himself gradually, not abruptly. We have been conditioned for millions of years. And now we want to, when I was new, I was thinking, oh, I have to do super austerities and I get purified in 1 week. Get up at 3, eat very little, fast as much as possible, take cold shower, and I will be almost like a pure devotee in 7 days. And then I saw that it doesn't work. And actually, even all these austerities are not most difficult. Devotees immediately gave me even more difficult austerity, go out on book distribution. Meeting people and convincing them to take books that you are yourself not convinced about completely. I had a painful realization. I thought always I'm very compassionate, I'm very caring, but I realized I don't care about these people. And I was sitting on the bench. Even in Ljubljana, it happened a few times, sitting on a bench, buying bananas and yogurt, offering to Krishna, eating and crying that today I have distributed 0 books. How many of you have this experience? Okay, only a couple, that's good. You're all good Sankirtan devotees. Purification doesn't go so quickly, and somebody comes, I came like this, I said, wow, spiritual life means sannyas. Then I had to get into Grihastha ashram for many years. And so we understand that you cannot force your heart to get pure immediately. It takes time, you have to be patient, it takes time. And as we learn to become patient with ourselves, we also learn to become patient with others and encourage them to stretch as much as possible, but at the same time be patient and practice day in and day out. and pray for the blessings and the mercy that this purification take place. So to practice Krishna consciousness, one need to be very, very patient. This is described in the Upadeshamrita also. The principle of patience is very important, and especially we should be patient with others, but with ourselves we can be a little bit impatient. They say there is divine patience and there is also divine impatience. So my recommendation is apply divine patience with others and apply divine impatience with yourself. And try to hurry up in your spiritual advancement and try to do things that purify your heart more quickly. But don't do it too quickly, because it may become too painful and you may run away in fear that, oh, this is too heavy for me. So Arjuna is listening to Krishna. Krishna is trying to change the state of mind of Arjuna before he takes action. This is very important. It's a great lesson here. Before we convince somebody to do something, we should help them to understand it, to accept it, and to have at least some initial faith in it. We sometimes convince people to shave and to go out on books and to worship the deity and to jump in kirtan, but they have no idea what's happening and what they are doing. This is not necessarily bad that they do these things, but it's very important that we guide people in such a way that the process of bhakti yoga sinks deeply into their heart, and that they embrace it from the very beginning deeply, and that they have faith and practice for a long time. Sometimes we think success is to shave people. It used to be one of the measurement of success in the early days was how many people you have shaved, or how many people join by quantity. Okay, we have hundreds of devotees, and after 5 years, how many are there? 10 or less. Where are they? We don't know. They're not sincere. They left. They like Maya. But maybe Prabhupada said 50% is our responsibility why they left. We didn't cultivate them properly. We didn't support them properly. We didn't help them properly. So every devotee is important, and we want every devotee to succeed. Anyone who has approached Krishna, we want them to succeed all the way to the spiritual world. And therefore this patient and caring cultivation and support must be there. But also good guidance, I would say expert guidance, or as good as you can provide. And if sometimes we see that we cannot help someone, we don't just dismiss them and make them feel bad and make them feel guilty, but we try to find somebody else who help them. In helping people, in so many years, I have seen that some people I couldn't help. It's just we didn't match. I couldn't help them. But somebody else helped them. So we can have alternative helpers ready if we are not able to help someone, and we send them to them. And then, in many cases, they will be helped by someone else. So this is why there are different preachers, different gurus, different styles, because different teachers attract and can guide different people. And this is why we should respect a variety of support, guidance, and preaching. Of course, it has to be based on the same basic principles, sound principles. It shouldn't be a deviation or a speculation or something that is not right and it's not bona fide. So throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is gradually uplifting Arjuna's consciousness. He's allowing him to ask questions, and Arjuna is asking questions where he is allowed to express his doubts and clarify. Krishna clarifies his doubts. He's helping clarifying his doubts, and Arjuna is getting more and more convinced that he should act, that he should fight. And this conversation is maybe like every conversation that we have with anyone, bringing them from I will not fight to I will fight for the right thing. From I will not fight to I will fight. So Krishna is a supreme coach. One devotee who is a coach, he asked me, how should I present Krishna to people, especially people who are into success? And I said, what do you think? He said, I tell them he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. I said, well, you can say this later, but in between, what can you tell them? And then I said that you can tell them Krishna is a Maha coach. Because he's bringing Arjuna from I don't want to do this to I want to do this. I don't want to do this right thing. Many excuses are there. To actually, I'm now ready to follow your instruction and ready to fight. So in every conversation, basically we convince people to start doing something that is good for them and good for the world. And they lose heart, they lose enthusiasm, they lose faith, they have doubts, and we are helping them to change their mind and to change their perception. So this is like a model, this conversation is like a model, and you can analyze Bhagavad Gita from this point of view, that this conversation is transformational, how it changed the mind of a warrior who knew so much, but he got bewildered by the material energy. Everyone, even someone like Arjuna, can become bewildered. Of course, Srila Prabhupada says Arjuna was, a leela, that Arjuna got bewildered for our own learning, but we can see how he approached Krishna humbly, how he admitted in the 7th verse of the 2nd chapter that I need help. And I always say, beginning of success is when you admit I can't do it alone. And sometimes we have people in our movement who are there physically and they don't really take anybody's help. Either they are too proud or they don't trust anybody. There may be many reasons why this is not happening, but sometimes they have tried to get help and they were betrayed, or the confidence was broken, so they don't trust anyone now, or maybe Guru has left. There may be many reasons why people doesn't want to take help. But even though this may be true, we still need help and we need to find somebody we can trust. And Arjuna is submitting himself for help by a perfect person, and we can look for a bona fide representative to help us, and in this way learn how to act in a way that will be beneficial for us. So why Srila Prabhupada created this movement? So that we can help each other. Sometimes this help is not perfect, sometimes we make mistakes, but still we need to help each other. We need to help each other. Seniors should help juniors, peers should help each other. Sometimes even those who are juniors can help seniors. And the society means mutual help, helping each other succeed. So throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is guiding Arjuna, slowly uplifting his consciousness, clarifying his doubts, taking time to do this. And it's a they say it was spoken in 45 minutes or 1 hour, and it's actually how long is a coaching session. So usually meeting, when it's one-to-one, is about 1 hour, sometimes little less, sometimes little longer. And in 1 hour you can do so much for people if you train yourself, learn how to benefit people, how to give them the most benefit in 1 hour. I encourage a high quality Vaishnava association where devotees, if there is a lack of mentors or counselors, they coach each other. There can be a structure where they can have a systematic conversation and they can help each other, checking on how they're doing, looking at the obstacles and discussing how to overcome this or where to get more help. And instead of sitting together and lamenting or criticizing, we can actually have a structure how to help each other succeed. And it can be done in a simple way through questions. You can have, I give you my questions and you ask me my own questions, which cover the most important areas of your life. I have chosen them. You act as a coach. You ask me questions, you listen, you ask me sub-questions. Sometimes you give me a suggestion. And it can be high-quality time spent together and high-quality Vaishnava association, where we discuss how can we make spiritual advancement. So even during prasadam, sometimes you can have a high-quality conversation where you help each other in a very significant and a deep way. So Krishna is helping Arjuna here. He's acting like a teacher, not like a peer. They had some kind of a friendly or peer relationship for some time, and then it stopped, and Krishna took over. This may happen also sometimes. Sometimes you are a friend with people, but at one point they realize, oh, you know so much, and you can help them so much, so they take a more subordinate position or more humble position, and they take your help. But whatever it is, this we need help. We need help. And we need to be open for that. And Arjuna is, she's a very powerful person, but he's showing us that when we are confused, we should admit it to ourselves and then to others. I don't know what to do. What's the next step? What's the next best step? So we should learn this from Arjuna, from his seventh verse of the second chapter. And Arjuna was not just a blind follower, just saying yes, yes to Krishna. He was posing doubts. What about this? Your words are contradictory. You know, your instructions, equivocal. I'm not sure. Is this best for me? And slowly Krishna brought him to the 18th chapter. And Arjuna also said that I'm convinced now. So we all have to become convinced. And therefore we should read the Gita again and again. We want to listen Krishna Leela, but I think we didn't move from the second chapter yet. I'm studying second chapter also after 30 years, 34 years. It's such a great chapter. Even now, I mean, only after 30 years you can feel the significance of this second chapter, which is the summary of the Bhagavad Gita. So this, when you read this, there is three or four themes in the second chapter, and they are so powerful, they are so relevant for our success. And I think I can spend next 10 years of my life teaching public and devotees second chapter, because who has realized it? It's such an amazing chapter. So many powerful verses, especially when you start verse 54, the qualities of a person whose consciousness is merging to transcendence, then you have a lifetime work to do with this. From 54 to 72. But you can, from the second chapter, I just posted on the Facebook that there is 72 success lessons in the second chapter of the Gita. That means all 72 verses, and also there are purports. So you can check it out and see. Thank you very much for listening. Do you have any questions? Yes?
So my question is, we see Arjuna was first friendly with Krishna, and then he accepted him as a teacher. So is this how it should be normally? Sometimes when somebody approaches us as teacher or mentor immediately, then this creates some kind of conflict.
When somebody approaches us as teacher, it creates contra effect.
Yes, if he wants to be teacher, but he's more friendly.
Friendly?
Yes. He just wants to be teacher, like from a distance.
Srila Prabhupada was first serving everybody, prasadam, in the 22nd Avenue. He was not saying, I'm a big guru, follow me, wash my feet. But he was teaching, and slowly devotees realized that he can help them a lot. So usually when we meet people, we don't tell them, you know, I'm a guru, I'm a brahmana, I'm a big this or that. But we try to make friendship with them, and then slowly we can offer our support and guidance. But it's very important that they see that we care. There is a saying, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. So when people are convinced that we care, then they will be more open to listen to our knowledge and to our accept our guidance. So first friendship, then teaching and education will take place. And actually what needs to happen for exchange of knowledge is building trust. The more trust is there, the more open a person is to learn from you. So it's very important to know how you build trust, how you gain people's trust, because it's very precious. It will allow you to serve them better if they trust you. If somebody is arrogant, top down, approaches you from above, you will not trust. I remember I was very unclean, half punk, half hippie, when I came to the temple in one European country. And I said to I saw devotees are different people. There is this one, they look strange, some of them. And I asked them, can I speak to somebody who is advanced, more advanced? And they say, sure, yeah, there is a Harikesh Swami, and he's coming in some days, and there is this person who is has a position, and I will not tell you very much because I don't want to give details. And I look at him and I said, I'm not talking to him. Somehow I didn't trust. And in a few years he left. And I talked, then I couldn't speak to my later guru because he only gave class and left. I couldn't speak in his room privately. I wanted to speak privately. But they, the devotees pushed me to speak, to ask him questions in the lecture. And my question was how to avoid army. And he said, just distribute Prabhupada's books. It was marathon time at that time. He said, just distribute Prabhupada's books. And I was inside, I was laughing. What kind of answer is this? How will distributing these books, which I don't even understand, help me avoid army? But later I took it seriously. He's a guru, he gave me instructions, here says follow instruction. And I did it, and I never went to the army. So how this happened, I have no idea. But the point I was making that when I saw him, I trusted him. I saw he was sitting on the Vyasasana, just beaming and chastising one devotee why he distributed so little books, because he was a karate fighter, and one Mataji who was actually lame, she had a problem with walking, she distributed more books than him. And he is full, strong man, tall. And he, in front of 150 devotees, he was chastising him. And I was thinking, if I become a disciple, I may get this too. So I was a little scared, but he was shining, and I was so beautiful, so intelligent. Glasses also. And pure American accent, New York. So I was bold enough to ask this question, and he gave me an answer which didn't make sense. I was thinking this is like Zen masters, they give you some answer that doesn't make sense but it works. It doesn't make sense but it works, and you know, you should take it seriously. Because I was reading just before I met devotees, I was reading about Buddhism and Zen. And I was thinking, this may be like this, something like this. And And then after 3-4 years, they relieved me, and I came to him, and I told him, you know, you told me this, and I did it, and it worked. And he just smiled. he didn't comment. He said, okay. I wanted to ask him one more thing, but I was too ashamed. How can my girlfriend become a devotee? And I was not myself a devotee yet, but I wanted that she become a devotee. So I was too ashamed to ask this, because it has to do with the girlfriend. This was my private question for the room, but we didn't have a chance to speak in the room. So you know, trust is not cheap. And you have to... There is laws of trust, how trust is built. So we... Also, we should know how to choose whom we can trust. And one simple criteria is he a good example? Does he walk his dog? That's one simple thing. But another is how much he really cares. And there is another also, does he know anything and does he have skills how to apply this? So these four build trust. Personal example, how much he cares, how much he knows, and how much he lives what he teaches, or how much he applies, how he can apply. So if you have these four, you can start trusting. And but for yourself, if you want people to trust you, then think of these four things. Think of these four things. What was your question? Thank you for translating. You forgot the question because you are working hard to translate. What? I have this Bhagavad Gita experience every time I meet anyone. They come and I'm very friendly and I give them a cookie and they say, I want coaching. And then I give them a questionnaire, are you ready for coaching? And some of them run away. 9 questions. Because these questions show them that this will be a serious work, not just a cookie. It will be a serious, you have to, if you want to work with me, you want to work on your personal improvement very seriously. And some stay and then they benefit from this work. So in the beginning we are all friendly, but then we have to get into a coaching mood and the training mood. And if you want to really help people, they need to practice and train. Bhakta Andre asked me, he's organizing some programs, he asked me, what kind of poster should I make for your program? My program is called Personal Lifestyle Revolution. You know, we will do a couple of programs. And then he said, what kind of a picture should I put? So what kind of picture you would put for this? You tell me, for this kind of title. What kind of photo to illustrate the program?
You will put a photo of the final destination you get with this kind of project.
Okay, that's nice. I don't know what it could be. What it could be for the new people? Don't hit them with Goloka. But okay, anything else? Nice. Okay, anything else? Turn your concepts upside down. Yes. Something.
And then yourself, peacefully talking to him or something, or yourself with your trust on him.
Very nice.
You the friendly expression.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Okay, third attempt, third guess. My solution was very simple, but give me the third one. What's your name?
David.
David. Bhakta David. You're from here?
Yes.
Thank you for this wonderful example. In my seminars, usually, I always have a plate of cookies. And if somebody says something I really like, I give them cookies. So if I would have cookies now, I would give you like 5 cookies for this. This is one of the wonderful illustrations of coaching, a helping hand to go to the top or go higher. It's beautiful, it's wonderful. But okay, thank you all for this nice, your creative contribution. And now I will tell you that, I will tell you what I told him to put. I told him to put somebody who is training. So he found one girl in the forest, a fresh air, very, very nice, who is looking at the clock and running. So, you know, it's nice. It's nice illustration that basically, if you come to this course, it will try to inspire you to train every day, to practice every day, like this. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi Hare Krishna. Holy Name Festival Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.